we were forced to be slaves. Avodah Kosha b'chomer levayim. Chazal say an amazing thing. Avodah Kosha is brisa. B'chomer levayim says Gemara's Mishnah. That's called Avodah Kosha b'chomer levayim. What was the learning of Torah Shabbal Peh is filled with kashas and terus, with pilpul. That's the way one learns. And that is considered by Chazal to be Avodah Torah. It's wonderful, but it's backbreaking, meaning it's hard. It's hard in that way. Kashas and terus and kashas and terus. When you're learning Pnimius at Torah, so that limud is not a limud of kashas and terus. The cloud, we don't see machlokes, and it's not the way of Pnimius at Torah to learn in such a way. And therefore, even though one learns on Shabbos in great depth, other Rabbi, you learn the deepest part of the Torah on Shabbos, but it's those parts of learning that are not creating turmoil, that they're settling our mood and resolving our issues, as opposed to turning the soil over. Learning what we do during the week is like the Harisha, Seer. The learning of Torah Shabbat is like on the farm. That's the way of learning Torah. The learning of Shabbos is not a limud of that type. It's a different limud. So even when it comes to that, there's a menucha. The person has and a book reads the pasuk Yom Haniyah Hashem Lecha Ve'Matz Becha U'Merag Zeh. Shabbos is a day where I'm trying to leave from the sadness. It also means anxiety, and zecha means anger. Nowadays we speak more about anxiety and depression. And some of the very, very difficult work that we were forced to work during the week. So Rabbi Neri explains. This pasuk that Rav Kook brings is from Yeshayahu. Hamataya Shalosh Madregis. The Navi is describing. Navi is describing three Madregis. Three Madregis. Aleph. Adam ha'oved ha'avodah fizis kasha. A person is working physically. He's working hard physical labor. The gufom is ayif ma'od. And the other is bad. It's fine. I'm going to avoid that question. Let's hold up. Hard work. So cook the menucha b'shabbos. So this person whose work is physical, he just needs to have some menucha b'shabbos. Base. Adam she'eino oved avodah fizis kasha. A person who's not working physically. Or pakid, for instance, a guy that's a pakid, some supervisor, he's telling other people to work hard. But in the line of work, he meets people who get him nervous and get him upset. And who take him out of the place that's quiet, tranquil, and peaceful. This is the meaning of Ragzacha. Adam is in a nosum tachas ma'amasa physis. This person is not weighed down by hard physical labor. Ela tachas ma'amasa psychologis. He's weighed down by psychological. Much physical life, psychologically overwrought and overwhelmed and weighed down. Our generation is suffering in many ways much more than earlier generations, even though life was physically much, much harder for our grandparents and great-grandparents. For them to eat, it required a tremendous amount of physical labor just to make a Shabbos. But psychologically, people always had their inyanim, and there was plenty of sorrows. But
psychologically, day-to-day life is not as emotionally, psychologically challenging as it is now. So the Pasuk in Navi is saying, so a person needs physical health on Shabbos, needs psychological, emotional break on Shabbos. Adam she'eno oved b'avoda fizis kasha. Then you have a third type of person the Navi's talking about. He doesn't work manually, physically hard. And even in his work, he doesn't have because he feels a lot of people are suffering from this. Shum shamagi shavadaso ein chashuva. He just feels that he's not accomplishing anything with his work. He's not happy with his work. This is more than ever. This inyan is more than ever. I have so many conversations as I talk all the time who are thinking about what they're going to do. They want to get married and have to make a living. And it's natural for a person to want to do something at work that's going to bring him meaning in life. Meaning in life. So a person feels that he's a doctor, he's saving lives, it's a chashuva thing, and being able to help people, or a therapist, or whatever, you're a teacher, or a rabbi. But then there are people that their jobs, they just feel like, what am I doing? What am I doing? What am I accomplishing with my work? And more than ever, people are looking for something. If you would have asked my father, what are you accomplishing with your work? He would have said, I'm paying my kids' tuition. He didn't have like an inyan of what deep meaning. Like, what are you getting out of work? There was nothing to get out of work. It was just, my father's a dry cleaner. I got to get the stains out of this guy's pants. That's all I got to do. It wasn't looking for meaning in that. Looking for meaning in his life. Even though that took so many hours of his day. But he wasn't looking for anything existential at work. He was just looking for a parnassah. And that's how our grandfathers, grandfathers, and great-grandfathers, that's how they lived. There were exceptions. There were people that had very, very idealistic or something. But for the most part, parnassa was something that you just had to do. And that was fine. Because you were living for your family. You were living for your Yiddish guy. And that was fine. But now it's very, 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 very common. I'd say it's usual and very, very expected on the part of the chevra to find something deep and meaningful in what they're doing. And it's not only affecting guys, this is affecting the girls also. Because taking care of a kid, I'm saying, you know, the baby, to deal with the baby, to deal with the child, it's not moment to moment, there's nothing glamorous in it, it's just hard work. And it's just a very physically draining, and it's emotionally draining. And I remember I mentioned once that when we lived in Frogger, there's a very, very wonderful hush of a woman on our block, and she very educated. She had all kinds of degrees. And they brought Hashem had a bunch of kids. They were close in age. And she wore this sweatshirt, and it said on it, "For this I went to graduate school." And she, like, you see walking down the block, like, you know, kids, little kids, like pulling at her, and was like totally worn out. And, you know, "For this I went to graduate school."
So again, traditionally that was my mother. She should be well. If you asked Akasha, like, what meaning did you find in raising children? She wouldn't even know what language you were talking. What meaning did I find in raising this? You have, that's what you have to do. You want to have a kid. You want to have a family. You got to change diapers. You got to take it for walks and stuff. That's what you have to do. They require maintenance. And my mother, she should be well, wasn't looking for anything, any great idealism to be satisfied through what she was doing. With her day to day life, but nowadays you talk to many women,
broken people, broken people. The ones that can't deal with their children want to talk on the phone to the ones who's crying for 10 years to have children. I try to make sometimes the shidduchim, talk a little bit to each other, to give chizik to each other instead of calling some man that doesn't understand what it means. But wow, this whole Indian. But the women are crying and suffering. I can't. What do I do? My whole life is stupid. I had this girl telling me, this young mother. My whole life is, all I do is I change diapers and I nursing and cleaning up after this and doing that. My whole life is stupid. That's what the word she is, stupid. So I said, wow, that's stupid. You, I don't know what you were thinking when you got married. Like, what is, let me just go back a year and say that was a stupid chasma. What were you doing? Maybe, you know, I don't want to say maybe you're stupid. What are you thinking? But it's hard. And I'm not saying I don't have any compassion for her. She doesn't feel she signed up for it. The last thing she was taking, like, you know, psychology, in college or something, some interesting class, talking about what other people are thinking about, which a lot of girls like, you know, anyway, all the time. And so she was taking some class in psychology. And then the next thing she knows is that she's with an infant. None of this means anything to this kid, you know, psychology. And it's just a mess, and she's tired. That's that the Navi is calling. The Navi is calling such a thing. It's not avoda kasha. It's not avoda. This is already called atzbacha. Atzbacha. There's a feeling of sadness. My life is not meaningful. My life. I'm unaccomplished. What am I doing? What am I doing with my life? What am I accomplishing? I'm not getting anywhere in my life. Guy, let's say, has a much dumber thing than infinitely dumber thing than raising kids is like selling buildings or something like that. So what am I doing? So I sold a building, I bought a building. Well, you have another guy, he's an accountant, he's working at somebody's cheshbonos or something. I spend my whole life working on somebody's cheshbonos. If you stop and you think about things that you're doing for a living, that they don't give you life, they don't give you meaning. Of course, if you're a deeper thinker, you could try to find ways of. Think of how you can be mechazik people and be mesamech people, whatever line of work you do. You can do all kinds of nice things. It was a very sweet thing that I wanted to give a tip to the guys that collect the garbage, you know, for the holiday. And I don't know exactly when they come different times. And I was running down the block to give the guys, because they were pulling away, and I was running down the block to try to give the guys something for the holiday. And there was this big, like, scary-looking guy that you know, he was coming out of the truck and he was putting the thing into. And I gave him that envelope and he said, "That's really nice." And he said to me, "I hope that I can make your life more pleasant."
Wow!
I said to my wife, "It's a good word." A guy says that and it means he has such a machshava, a person. It's a choshev thing, because a guy like that could think my life stinks. What kind of life do I have? It's a disgusting life. What do I do my whole life? You know? And the guy says, "I hope I make your life more pleasant." I said, "It's a chash of a person, such a thing to say. I have a machshava like that." You know? I don't know if he says that to the people who don't have them. But it's a machshava.
But if you give him more, he may even make it better.
Make even more. Well, that's my chashva. That's my chashva. But of course, a person can be in a good place no matter what you're doing in the world. You can be in a good place if you're working hard, it's an honest living, whatever it is. But a lot of people are sad. They're very sad about their lives. They're just and life is much better than it used to be. They have good lives. They have what to eat and they have a warm house and everything. Everything is nice. So what are you so unga blues? And my father, Elovson, can never understand it. People look unga blues. It means like they had the wind blown out of them. Unga blues. You can't really translate that thing. It's an old way of saying depressed. And my father is walking around like old people. Everybody looks very depressed. Medicine is depressed. My father said, "What do we have over here? Good health." My father said, "Life we have over here. Life is so good. We have food. I have a bed. There's no lineup in the morning with beatings. I mean, it's a good life." Unga blues. Everybody says as the air blown out of them. And even though it's true, and it's hard to understand, but the truth, the deeper truth is that there is something choshev about the fact that people are looking for meaning in their lives. It's an important thing that people look for meaning. The problem is, of course, not finding it and how to look for it. So what Rav Avinair is explaining, what Rav Kook is telling us here, is that the Navi is speaking about these three different levels of the week, of the work of the week. And then on Shabbos, a person has the ability to be free from all of this. He feels that his life is not meaningful. But when you come to Shabbos, so Shabbos, the Navi is saying is b'yom haniyach Hashem l'cha mi'otzbecha mi'rogzecha min'avayd ha'kosha. It's a good thing to talk about tonight, the table, that Hashem frees us, gives us the ability to be free from these three types of hard work. Physical, the psychological challenges during the week with work, and then that emptiness, the emptiness of Otzbecha and the sadness that comes with, where's my life going? What's the tachlis of my life? And so on. Otzbecha. Umavakeshes he la oz nesivos elyonos. On page 37. And then the soul is seeking higher pathways. On Shabbos, the soul is seeking higher pathways. Hanefesh mechapeses, Rav Avinair explains, Hanefesh mechapeses acha olamos gedolim umeroimim em yosef. The soul is able to look for something higher, something more exalted and higher and greater than what one is looking for during the week. Mechapeses acha kedusha tahar. On Shabbos, the person who's in this sugya, the person is looking for kedusha and for tahara on Shabbos. And I had a very, very upsetting conversation a few weeks ago. There was an older single girl, and it's been very, very, very hard for her. That she was so disappointed because there was a guy that she was going out with, and then it looked like she thought she was going to get engaged to this guy, and the guy like just got cold feet. He just disappeared, just left her like high and dry. Not even like with a, didn't even come to talk to her, just like a, left her an email, sorry it's not working out, whatever. And she was so tzibachin. And I was talking to her and she said, I can't do this anymore. I can't. I'm finished. She was saying, look, what's the point of my going on? So on. It was very, very, very tzibrach. And I said, you know, that Rachel, I told her, you know, Rachel Imenu said to Yaakov, you know, because then she apologized. I'm sorry, I'm talking this way. I said, well, Rachel Imenu said to Yaakov, you know, holy bonim v'mai meisanoich. If you don't bring me children, meisanoich, I want to die. Rachel Imenu said that. I'm Mason. And Yaakov was upset with me. She says such a strong thing. Holy one of my Mason, I'm going to die. In other words, if I can't have kids, I'm going to die. There's no tachlis to my life. So on this pasuk, the Baal HaKedah, HaKedah is one of the Kadmonim from the time of the Baal Rabbanel, the time of the Spanish Inquisition. The expulsion. So the Baal HaKedah writes very strong that what was Yaakovino, what got him upset? To Achmanis. are a little upset with Yaakovino. You look at the Mefarsh. Like, yeah, it's Achmanis. She's very, very broken. Her sister's having, and she's very broken. And what's Yaakovino? So the Akedah says, Mihigidlach, that Yaakov was saying to her, who told you? Who told you that the only purpose you have in life is to get married and to have children? Who told you? Now, it could be that seminary somebody told her that. Could be. Rachel didn't go to seminary. She probably wouldn't have been accepted. She had very bad pedigree, you know that. Very, very bad family. Very bad family. They look into your brothers, you know, parents. I don't think she would have made it to the seminary at all. If she was got in, she wouldn't have lasted. They would have caught her on texting to Lovin or something of the soil. I don't know. But Akeda says, who told you such a thing? Getting married, having a child, it's a very chashuv thing. But that's also Vaidus Hashem. It's not because it looks nice in the picture that comes up on your phone for everybody to see in the world. You're standing there posing with your family. Or you're in competition with your sister-in-law. That's not the tachlis. The tachlis is to be an Eved Hashem. Avodas Hashem is the tachlis. So mihigilah, who told you that you're not an Eved Hashem without a husband, without kids? Mihigilah, who told you such? Who told you you were created to get married? You were created to have children? It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. You want to say it's a mitzvah chashuva, like the Kadmonim say about Purim? But who told you that? Who told you that without that you don't have a tachlis to your life? There's no meaning to your life. There's no purpose to your life. Why do you exist? Why do you exist? This is a terrible, terrible struggle that many chevra go through, and it's sad to hear. It's heartbreaking to watch people fall apart. Of course, we daven to try and to. But the truth is that if a person lives every moment of his life in that world of Dveikis and Shavis Hashem and Nagdi Samit, there's no such thing to ever ask that question. What's the purpose of my life? The purpose of your life is you're having a cup of water and you're making a shahakal. What's the purpose of your life? To make the good shahakal. It's the tachas of your life, is to make a good shahakal. What about in a half hour? Maybe I'll make a bar pH in a half hour. I don't know. It's the tachlis of my life. The tachlis is not something else. The tachlis is you and now. That's the tachlis. There are mitzvahs. The mitzvahs is to be avdei Hashem, to be an Eved Hashem. Every second of our lives to be an Eved Hashem, to do our best. Of course, I want to be able to have raised from children. I want to bring more Torah to the world, more Yiddishkeit to the world. So I told you many times we were learning the Sefer Mitzvahs, the first mitzvah Purim. Well, that's not the first mitzvah in the Seder of the Rambam, but the Chinuch is the first mitzvah. We're learning the mitzvah Purim that the Bnei Sasker in the Epic Gudecha says that the Ikka mitzvah Purim was bringing more Torah into the world, more Ruchnis, more Hashem into the world. One of the most powerful Hechetim says do that is to have kids. To be a teacher is bringing more of Hashem into the world. To be in partners in Torah and to have a phone call with somebody once or twice a week and to share Torah with somebody who doesn't know, it's a huge thing. So the mitzvah of having children is bringing more of Hashem's light into the world. That's the tachlis. Having a kid is a hechet timtzum, and there aren't people who have children, and the children grow up to be people who do not bring more of Hashem into the world. Will go away from Hashem, Hashem Nach. Who knows? Who knows how it comes out this way, it comes out that way. Our job is to be Avdei Hashem, is to bring more Lukus into our lives, to be more Lukus into other people's lives, and to be Avdei Hashem, how I could bring more of Hashem's book into the world. That's more Kavod Shemayim into the world. But there are people who feel that their jobs are nothing. Their lives are my job, my work is meaningless. I'm married and I don't have children, or I had a child, the Lord land of the child left the world, so what's the tachlis of my life, or I'm a widow, or I'm a widower, it's a tachlis, no tachlis. It's not Jewish language. It's not that's what the Akedah says, that Yaakov was saying to Rachel Imenu, if you don't have children, it's not, you want to die? It's not worth being in the world? The shahakal is not a good thing? To daven, to have Dveikus Basha, Meisan, you're going to die. That's what Yaakov had to convey them. That's what he says. What is it, though?
Rabbi said a few minutes ago that the Shabbos brings on rest in like three different ways. I was just curious if the rabbi could help frame it for the women, because a job during the week is easier than a job. job raising a family on Shabbos. Between the cooking and taking care of the family on Shabbos, it could be the opposite for them. As a man, I certainly get away.
You mean Shabbos sometimes is harder than the week?
Correct.
Yeah.
So for the man, I totally get everything the Rav is saying.
Yeah, I know, though. You know, you're making it's an important point. You're raising an important point. Oftentimes, especially when you get one of those long summer Shabbos, and you like you're afraid you can come back from Minchan Shabbos and find your wife hanging by the like by a noose, you know, outside the house or something. Yeah, it's an important question. You see, I say this. There are two ways to answer that. One is to get into a practical conversation about that. I'm not very good at that. I'm not really such a practical person. I would say, help your wife. Just help your wife a lot. Do what you can to help your wife. And if you could do anything to work an extra 10 hours, 20 hours during the week, so it's possible for you to avoid to have it. It's possible for you to afford to have some extra help in the house, because it's expensive and a lot of people can't do that. But if you can have some extra hands in the house, then work through the night to make life better for your wife, that she should be able to come Shabbos and to have more menucha Shabbos. So I guess practically, the husband being much more there, you know. Even on a Shabbos day, again, I'm not so good at the practical stuff. I'm just talking about things that I found that I tried to work at, even though, you know, I fell short. And those years when the kids were little, I should have done much more. But, you know, I know what it was like just to say to my wife, this Shabbos afternoon, you're off. You're off. I'm not going to go learn. I'm going to hang out with the kids. You're off Shabbos. For a woman, for a mother, it's a huge, huge, huge thing. Just even an hour or two to be free of that, or to be the kind of a husband that during the night, if you're able to help out and so on, these are practical things that compassionate men need to think about. Well, the ones who are not compassionate need to think about. But everybody needs to work on, and if possible, to try. It's expensive, but to try to get some extra help. You know, it's in the old days, families oftentimes, they lived four or five, they all lived in the same courtyard, you know, and the women helped each other. The cousins and the women, they weren't busy with school and other things. Mostly they were helping each other, the women. They helped each other. That's how it was for thousands of years. It wasn't that feeling of being alone. The women now, they feel very alone. So on a practical level, the men have to try to do their best to step in. And if they could work harder during the week and somehow afford to get some help for a few hours on an Erev Shabbos, whatever, that's on a practical level. On a deeper, more pnimistic madrega, a lot of the women, it's a big topic, though. You raised an important thing. And I just mentioned a little bit. A lot of the women feel that they're shmatas. You know what a shmat is? You know what a shmat is? Oh, they feel like rigs. They feel like shmatas. And you know, when I was telling you about the lady on the block with the sweatshirt, for this I went to college. It's cute. It's funny. But it's also something about it that's very, very sad. A lot of the women feel like shmatas. And that's why it's not enough you can't expect a woman to come to Shabbos to be all excited just because you got her some flowers or something. And now it's Shabbos and she has, Shabbos is the hardest day of the week for her. If that woman does not feel she's an intelligent, emotional person, if she doesn't have time during the week where she can really, really engage in something more meaningful and more ruchnistic, then it's almost impossible to expect her to survive without feeling angry, broken on Shabbos. So what I have found over the years is that women will come to complain to me about this, this inyan, and I'll ask something like, do you ever go to shiurim during the week? So sometimes it'll be, how am I supposed to get to a shiur? Where am I going to go to a shiur? So, okay, so let's talk practically. You know, maybe one night of the week. There's no shortage of shiurim. Five towns has more women's shiurim than it could be in Yerushalayim. Plenty of shiurim all over the place. During the day, at night, there's shiurim for women. I can't. So I said, well, what about, like, listening? What about listening? There are a million... You don't have to even get cassettes anymore. You could listen on your phone to any what you could listen to. You know, it's an interesting thing. I've had a lot of the women tell me over the years, and I ask them these questions, they don't engage them. They don't get engaged during the week with something deeper, with thinking, with learning. They don't. Not to go to a shiur. How many times have I had women that are complaining that they'll say something like, people are not friendly. So like, when do you meet them? Exactly. Like, are you talking about when you, in the aisle in the grocery store or shul? When was the last time you came to shul? Or you come to pick up your husband 10 minutes at the end when everybody's already walking home. Do you ever come to a shiur? Okay, so I'm tired. So then, when you have a time, you're not meeting people, are not friendly. Do you meet anybody? You go anywhere? You talk to anyone? Yes, my wife. These are things that have been going on for 30 years. This business with their abundance, their conversations. So on a very practical level, there are things that women can do besides the husband stepping up, which is the most important. Practically and in ruchnius, where's a woman's ruchnius? How is she supposed to feel Kedusha Shabbos if she has no Shaychus to Shabbos? If she would listen during the week to 5 or 6 hours while she's doing stuff or while she's taking a little bit of a break, if she would listen to 5 or 6 hours of Shiurim on the Inyan of Shabbos, she would, even on Shabbos with the kids crying, she would have a different Shabbos. But if she's the kind of a person who just sits around krechzing about how my husband doesn't do this and I have nothing, and I used to be when I was in seminary, I used to be the top in my shiur and the top, and then they filled with tightness and filled with complaints about life. So then, what are they supposed to feel on Shabbos? Shabbos is the worst day of the week for them. But when a woman is involved in ruchnius during the week. And that's why I say to husbands not to be a chavrusa with a wife, but if you could take 15 minutes, 20 minutes a week, and the two of you have something that you learn, and if the wife is somebody that can listen to a shiur, without Torah, you can't be a ruchnistic person. Or without davening, you can't be a ruchnistic person. My wife likes to sleep. She likes to, her and her sisters, they sleep later. They like to sleep late. They stay up very late at night, and they sleep late in the morning. But when you have a kid, you don't have bechira. Kids, you can't tell your baby, sorry, that's it's not acceptable to be up at 5:30. You can't tell that to your baby, right? So when my wife had to, and it was those years of the little ones, my wife would get up to daven at an hour before. And she's a night person. But she would get up. She would try to go to bed a little bit earlier, which she usually couldn't do because there was always a kid crying then also, or something going on. But she would try to get up at 4:30. Because it's not a day without davening. If it's important to you, you could figure it out. But if it's not that important to you, then you'll never figure it out. Our grandmothers and great-grandmothers didn't have shiurim online. They didn't have live shiurim either, by the way. But my father will show me, he tells me about his mother, and remembering that my father, I've told this many times, the shul, my father said, that as a little boy, in the house, every single night when he would go to sleep, he would hear the sound of his mother singing Tzaneren. You know what Tzaneren is? Tzaneren. So it's a sefer, a Yiddish sefer of Medrash and Mefarshim on the parish, that all the women in Europe used to say Tzaneren. And then my grandmother, the other, they had a certain niggun for it. They had a certain tune. My father said that when he would go to sleep at night, that was always what he heard. It was always what he heard.
And he remembers, and I saw this later in the Sefer about the Chofetz Chaim, but my father remembers that his mother would say, it was these parashas, my grandmother, Allah Hashem, would say, also in the middle of the Tzenerech, she would say, oh, Paro, you're going to get it. Who are you going to get it? You think you could start up with the, you're going to get it. And my father said, that's how he went to sleep, hearing his mother saying, Paro, you're going to get it. The children not go to sleep, they hear the wife saying to the husband, oh, are you going to get it? To the husband, you're going to get it. So, compassion, it's hard for the women, but do something about it. It's hard to feel bad for people who complain and don't do anything about it. I mean, you should feel bad for them too, but it's hard. A lot of people just don't do anything about it. Do something. You don't feel there's any ruchnis in your life? Where are you going to get ruchnis without learning Torah? What's our life worth without Torah? Why aren't you learning? You can't learn. You can't learn. There's no learning at all. You could do a whole week. You can't learn. With all the tapes, you could have Rabbi Krohn, you could have Rabbi Weiwei, you could have piped in your head in the living room, you could listen to whatever you like. Sfaradim, Ashkenazim, Chassidim, Misnagdim, anything you like, you listen to whatever you want. My wife, she should be well, every free minute she's learning. Every, not even when she's free, when she's doing housework. She has this, she says, you know, they have things nowadays, they don't even have wires on. You ever see this? You know what I'm talking about? There's no wires, nothing. No wires. She has these two little buttons she got, and she puts them in her ears, and she's walking on the whole time. And then I talk to you, she says, what? And then I'll ask her, what are you learning? She's learning. Then you have another type that's, my life is horrible. I have nothing. Yeah, what am I supposed to feel on Shabbos? Sure, you go to shul on Shabbos. Look at me. What do you do about it? Do something about it. I don't know if I'm answering your question. Yeah. Do something about it. You want to be a complainer? If somebody married one of those high maintenance complaining types, that's a Gehenna, and it's a Gehenna, and it's a Gehenna you're not going to get out of by just hiring a cleaning lady, because those women bring you down into Gehenna with five whole staff of cleaning people. Those women are still complaining. I know people like that too. I've had discussions with women who have a staff of 3-4 ladies during the week, and they still are upset about their husbands going to shul. So, Rabbi Shalom, you got a whole staff over there walking around like the Queen of England. And I don't say this, I think it. You got a whole staff in your house of women. Who are you? Who are you? What? And you have tinnitus. How does your husband get up and go to shul? Leaves me like this with the kids. What? Why don't you snap your fingers and have one of your girls come crawling over to you? You don't have a good life.
They just want their husbands to listen to them. They don't want answers.
So there are people that are in that Gehenna. Now, you asked me about that, so I'm talking from that perspective. I usually talk about the Gehenna that the men bring upon their wives, but you asked me a little bit about this Gehenna. So this is a Gehenna. Those women who are living in a world of tainus and of tvius and of anger and no ruchnius and what became of my life and Mesa Noichi, I'm dying, and yeah, you go off to work and you enjoy yourself and look at me and what my life is about. I'm not saying it's not hard. That was the whole first part of what I was saying. We do it. You have to do whatever you can to help. Whatever you can do to help. Because, you know, this could become a clip and they're going to take it out. You know how they do it. That's what they do. It's Mamsha Vicious. They take out a 3-minute clip and they do something like that. That's why the rabbi told me he repeats like 20 times during the talk, not to be, don't misunderstand. I don't do that. Because even if you do that, they'll find the 30 seconds if you say something that they want to put on the computer or something to cause aggravation and so on. But with all of the compassion and all that the men have to do to help, sometimes a guy is married to a woman that's just a fabisina person. It's a bitter person. And no matter what you do, she'll have tinnitus. What does a person do? That's a different conversation, how to live in such a way to still try to have a normal life and a decent marriage. But there are people that no matter what you do for her, she's fabisna. And there are women, same thing with their men. But whatever you do, whatever she does for him, he's fabisna. He's a bitter person. It's not a din in the conditions of life. It's a din in the person. And like somebody told me here from the shul that his grandmother used to say, you take yourself wherever you go. Mm. That's a big problem. That means even when you go to Mexico, you go to Florida, the problem is it's you that's going. And since you take yourself wherever you go, the same Fabisna person in New York, because it's cold, it's snowing, this is a miserable day. So the next week you're sitting in Mexico someplace in the playa, whatever it's called. And you, what?
Las Cabos.
Yeah, well, I don't know what they're called. You're sitting someplace in Mexico, and you have some workers is folding up your towel under your head or something, and he's smearing suntan lotion on you. And your wife is sitting there, and you start complaining to her about something else.
Too hot.
Or she's complaining to you. It's a different person. So the problem is, you brought her with you to Mexico. This is the same person she is in New York. She's 24/7 snow, all weather, all purpose, all weather. Same person in the snow, in the sun. It's the same person. What do you do? You got maybe 15 minutes reprieve, 15 minutes relief. But you're paying a lot of money for 15 minutes off. Otherwise, the sun is just as annoying as the snow. It's a din in the person. You look at people, and I've learned this over the years. It's always a din in the person. Because there are people who have very, 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 very hard life, and they're smiling, and they're happy, and life is good. And you have people who have a good life. Life is unbelievably good. Kindness. That's how it is.
I'm just thinking about the five-star chats. Remember by
COVID? What?
The five-star chats that we're doing by COVID. So the Revison says something that our family's trying to really live by. I don't know if people have heard it. She said that you can live life two ways. I have to do this. I have to do that. Or I get to do this. I get to do this. So she goes, cooking. The Revison said to the other question, to get to a madriga of I have to cook. I have to go to this. So now it's a joke. Now whenever I that Jeff, they got a garbage. I get the kind of take of that. It's a different model.
You're right.
That part was.
Yeah, and she lives like that. It's a certain mindset. It's a certain mindset of looking at your life and it through different lenses. Mm-hmm. And if you look at through that of this is my Swiss, I get to do this. This is my privilege. My children, there are people that don't have children. There are people who have children that died. Lo aleinu. And this is my Swiss. This is my privilege that I'm able to do this. And I have the good health to be able to take care of my family. What about people who can't take care of their families? They have to have the good health. And the fact that you have, I always say that when a woman comes, people, husband, wife come, they're talking about the kid with the school and they're having a problem with. I say, I always stop and say, are the children healthy? And yeah, the children are healthy. That's a big thing. That's a big thing. The children are healthy. Don't take that for granted. Mm-hmm. So it's a certain way of thinking. It's a different way of thinking.
You had a tape going back many years ago, and you made it clear there is no. This is I think I'm quoting. I'm not.
I've been misquoted. It's okay. I've been misquoted.
There is no substitute. You were talking about getting out of each thing that, like Jeff said, I'm going to get to do this and do that. But you said in the tape, there is no substitute of the mother taking the child off the school bus with a kiss on the kepala and handing them an Oreo cookie.
Probably didn't say that.
Cookie.
Yeah. kosher.
And there's no substitute for that. What did you do in school today? Rather than send some people, you know, with a $200,000 Range Rover to the housekeeper to pick up.
100%. 100%.
I mean, it was an old.
You know, a simple thing like this, that when the kids get old, they talk about stuff like how mommy used to send on the lunch bag, she would make a smiley.
Yeah.
And she wrote a little note, are you having a good day, sweetie pie? I'm thinking about you. It takes 5 seconds and it gives life to the child. It's a chiyus. Instead of thinking I had to pack another lunch, like who am I? I'm some guy. I work in a fast food restaurant or something, you know. But there are two ways of thinking. Either I have a child. You know what that is? And the child is healthy and is going to school, and to be happy about that and to write a little note, as opposed to I work in the kitchen. That's what I do. I work in the kitchen. And people, the men who have the second type, it's hard. It's very, very, very hard. And it's to live that way with those people. And with the women that have men that are in that parish, it's very hard. Or filled with roges, anger, and sadness and depression. It's a big rachmanis to live that way. It's rachmanis. But Shabbos was created for every single Jew to be able to have relief from that. But Shabbos is something you have to work for to get to Shabbos. So to get finally to the end of this conversation is that if you don't work on these things during the week, learning, davening, building yourself up, building your life up into something, then it doesn't happen magically just because the clock changes on Friday afternoon. It doesn't happen magically. But if you work during the week to prepare for Shabbos, if you work like a person who works Arab Shabbos, has what to eat on Shabbos, Chazal weren't just looking about food. If you work hard, kol terech b'Arab Shabbos means if you work the whole week on yourself, and on your ruchnis, and on your midas, and on your learning, and on your davening, then even though Shabbos, a long Shabbos in the summer with the kids and making a whole tumult, it's with everything. I always found Shabbos to be the most beautiful day of the week in our home. With the children were close in age and they were Kanaanar, there were a lot of them. It was, and it wasn't that it was easy, but it was beautiful, beautiful. And it was meant to be that way. Hashem gave us the ability to come to that, but we have to work at it. You don't have anything in life unless you work for it. People want without working for it. They want to have something. You have to work for happiness too. It doesn't happen to you.
I want to quote one of the rabbis' old shiurim that I always remember. The rabbi asked, how could it be called menucha? And the base of English is called menucha.
Menucha,
all blood in there.
Yes.
And the rabbi said, you know, if you go into the Goldberg's bar mitzvah in the front, it's beautiful. But if you came in the back, it's shakti. So how could you say it's menucha? And I think the answer at the time was, that's the ikar. If you're doing the yotafkid and what you're supposed to be doing, then it's called menucha.
That's right. That's what my wife was saying. This is what I get to do because this is my tafkid in life. And what Yaakov was saying to Rachel Imenu is, who told you that your own tafkid in life is for now? Maybe we will have kids, and they did. But who told you your tafkid in life is to have kids? Right now, you don't have kids. So it means that God didn't give you kids now. That means that obviously your tafkid right now is not to be taking care of a kid. Leah's tafkid right now is to take care of kids. Right now, that's not your tafkid. So you're right. What you're supposed to do right now is, what is my tafkid? That's what I meant by the shop. What's my tafkid now? No. And if you think in that way, you could find a simchas achai. You could find a big simchas achai. If you live in that mindset, Hashem should give us a good Shabbos.
Amen.